Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of The JW Show. I'm your host, Joshua Washington, director of the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. And my host today is Casa Bynesai Harbor. Casa arrived in Miami in March of 2019 to assume the role as Deputy Consul General at the Israeli Consulate in Miami. Previously, she served as the Deputy Head of Mission at the Israeli Embassy in Wellington, New Zealand. Before being assigned to New Zealand, Casa served as the Deputy Head of Mission at the Israeli Embassy in Yangon, Myanmar. Casa holds a master's from Tel Aviv University in the field of public policy and a bachelor's from Hebrew University in the field of international relations and education. She is fluent in Amharic, Hebrew, and English. Casa, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Joshua, for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah. And Casa, before we dive into this, can you just tell us about yourself? How did you get to where you are, and where did it all begin for you?
Well, that's a very good question, Joshua. I grew up in a Ethiopian village, in an Ethiopian Jewish community village in the north of Ethiopia. And I grew up in an environment where public servant and serving the community was very natural. My grandfather was kind of a doctor. When I say kind of a doctor, he made medicine by, you know, plants, you know, what we call today alternative medicines. For us, that was the only medicine. So it wasn't alternative. So everyone were welcome in our house. My grandfather, you know, served everyone and giving advices, and people came to him, to our house. It doesn't matter what their religion was and what their background was, our house was open for everyone. So the sense of caring and taking care of a community and serving the community was very natural for me. I grew up in that environment. So so to become a diplomat for the state of Israel and to be a public servant worker was just natural for me. Yeah.
What kind of drove you to arriving to where you are now as the Deputy Consul General?
Well, I when we came to Israel when I was 10 years old. And as a 10 years old, I grew up, you know, most of my life in Israel, and I finished, you know, high school, and I went like the same path every Israeli goes, you know, finishing high school, serving in the army, and then going to the university. As in between university and the army, I came to America to teach Hebrew at the Jewish camp with the Jewish community here. And that sense, and also later on, I was Israel fellow at the campus where I was in charge of Israel program on Hillel, a Jewish organization on campuses. At that, I learned, you know, the struggle of, you know, defending Israel and, you know, all the anti-Israel groups that were on campuses and other places. That was the moment that I decided to be a diplomat, where I want to be in a place where I can, you know, represent Israel, to show what Israel is. And mind you, most of the media, the big media, they were biased against Israel. So for me, when I saw that on campuses, I said, I have to go where the decision makers are, you know, with the decision makers are. And that's what led me to be a diplomat, to be in a place where I can show the true face of Israel and to promote Israel in many ways, and to strengthen the connection between the host country and Israel. In my case, currently in Florida, between Florida and Israel, and in the relationship, to work together on many ways, like Israel has to offer, an innovation, high tech, and many fields, and to bring in the Israeli experts to Florida, how Israel can help Florida in many issues. So I think it's working great. The Israeli consulate here in Florida is doing great. I'm just in general very happy to represent Israel everywhere.
And Casa, can you tell me, you said in the beginning that you came to Israel with your family when you were 10 years old. How can you, for our listeners, how does that work? What happened? How did that come about? What made you guys have to come to Israel?
Well, you know, the story of Israel and the Jewish people started in the time of the Bible. Mind you, we were 12 tribes, and Judah was one of them. And that's why most of the Jewish people called Jewish after the name of Judah was the last tribe to stay in Israel. And after the destruction of the first temple and the second temple, most of the tribes, they kind of lost and went, you know, were exiled out of Israel. And we were one of the tribe of Dan. And the longing and going back, the dream to go back to Israel, it's always part of my life since I was a little girl, you know. And that was the dream, and that was where we were praying for every morning and every night. And to come back home to Jerusalem was just natural. Okay. So when we found a way that there is a way to go to Jerusalem, we didn't even think twice. We said, yes, we're going. And part of us, we walked through the desert of Sudan, and part of us through Europe and many, many other ways. And my particular family, we came through Europe, mind you, in Ethiopia and in the 80s and the 90s. Was under the control of a communist regime of Mengistu Haile Mariam. And that regime wouldn't let any Jew to leave Ethiopia.
Wow.
Okay. So we had kind of to hide our destination and to flee Ethiopia like many other Ethiopians that flee in that days in the 90s, in the 80s and the 90s. So when we, you know, the dream came, and we just said, you know, we didn't think twice. We just took a few clothes and that's it. And we left Ethiopia and we came to Israel, to our dream, to Jerusalem. It's our natural place, our ancestors' place. And in the state of Israel, the creation of the state of Israel is to bring back to our birthright place the Jews, the diaspora Jews from all over the world. Mind you, again, we used to be 12 tribes. So the state of Israel is open to every Jew that wants to come and to live in Israel. We call it Aliyah. Aliyah means to take one step up, which means that in terms of spiritually, when you come to Israel, you become a little bit higher in your spiritual world, because Israel is the holy land and Jerusalem is the holy city. And that's why we call it Aliyah. So the Israel is open for every Jew and from the right place. And every Jew can become automatically citizen. Every Jew can become a citizen of Israel automatically. The idea of to recreate the state of Israel is to open our house again, to build our house again after thousands of years of exile. And, you know, Ethiopian Jews return home, Indian Jews, and all the Jews from all over the world return home. And where, you know, that's the main purpose of the state of Israel, to be a home, a safe home, again, to create our safe home again after thousands of years. And thank God we have a safe home. And doesn't matter where you are, if you're in trouble or anything, every Jew in every corner of the world, the door to come to Israel is open for them. So that's the whole point of the state of Israel. And even now, there are some Ethiopian Jews coming from Ethiopia to Israel. Just last weekend on Thursday came about 300 Jews from Ethiopia to Israel. And there are many people that are making Aliyah and coming to Israel from United States, from Canada, from Europe, from South America, from every corner. And it's really amazing that it's just unbelievable for me after years of praying of my parents, my grandparents, my great-great-parents, my great-great-great-great-parents, that they prayed to come back to Jerusalem. For me, it's such a miracle that happens in my time. Just the fact that I am in Israel, in Jerusalem, the fact that I'm right now talking with you about it, for me, is just miracle, you know, and God works in a very mysterious ways. And sometimes I ask myself, why me? Why in my time? What's the purpose of my life that I, you know, God brought me to Israel in my time right now? I think this is one of the reasons that I became a diplomat for the state of Israel, because I want to do a meaningful job for my country, to do something, to contribute in a way that I can bring the beauty of Israel and do good things for Israel, and to show the strength and the ability of Israel, because I woke up every morning and I can still believe that I'm in my time we came to Israel. You understand? It's just like,
wow.
It's just a miracle. And
it's not a distant dream anymore. It's a reality for you.
Yeah, it's a reality. It has been the dream of my grandparents, and it has the dream of my community. And many people, you know, couldn't make it. They died on the way in Sudan, and some of my family members as well. And we just, you know, have to do the best of it. And we're so lucky and also a miracle that we made it. Yeah,
absolutely. And you mentioned this too. I want you to maybe expound on it a little bit. You said your grandparents, you said they, or some of your relatives traveled through Sudan to Israel. A lot of Ethiopians try to do that on foot before the airlifts from Israel. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, like I said, in the 80s and the 90s, Ethiopia was controlled by a communist regime of Mengistu Haile Mariam. And that regime wouldn't let any Ethiopian or anyone leave, especially not to Israel, as Israel was the Western ally and Ethiopia was the Soviet Union ally. So our community, they decided to walk like our ancestor did from Egypt to Israel, just to walk. Wow. Like Moses led the way, and we found some leaders and they walked. And I'll give you an example. My mother, she's a, you know, she's a twin, her twin sister, she decided to walk through Sudan to Israel. And unfortunately, she didn't make it. She died on the way.
Wow.
And many people died on the way, many kids in starvation and or in robbery of the Sudanese people. Or in just, you know, in some, you know, they were sick or it's just many, many people, thousands of people died on the way. And that's, you know, the sacrifice, sacrifice to to Jerusalem, to go to Jerusalem. And they walked days, nights, weeks, months. And they suffered in refugee camps in Sudan. And that's where the state of Israel stepped in and helped us to, you know, to come from Sudan to Israel. With the famous movie, the Red Sea Diving Resort. If you saw that on Netflix. But the walk itself, the physical walk, the dreaming, my community did. And there are many stories how they, you know, I have a friend. She's a nurse now in Israel, and she's brilliant. She walked in a desert with her, you know, 1-year-old son, and she was a single mother.
Oh, wow.
And to, as a single mother, to do that by yourself with a little baby, it's you know, it was just dangerous, very dangerous. I mean, it's dangerous for everyone, but especially for a woman and a single mother. And I remember she told me that her son was so thirsty, she couldn't even breastfeed him or to nurse him because she didn't have enough water. And she said, you know, it's, she put him on a, you know how the Ethiopian used to carry the baby on the back, on the back, and our back, and we use the leather things to, you know, to cover. Anyway, she put the leather cover on the floor and she set her baby on the floor. And because he was so thirsty, he did pee, and he drank his own pee
Oh, wow.
as a baby.
Wow.
It's just, the stories are heartbreaking, yeah. And you know, and all of that to come to you. You know, as I talk to you right now, as I speak to you right now, there are tears in my eyes because it's just, the story is just unbelievable, yeah. Unbelievable, and all of that just, you know, because of the dream to come back to Jerusalem. And it's just so powerful. It's just so the sacrification that we did in my community. And you know what? And thank God, you know, a lot of us made it. And wow. And the state of Israel helped a lot in terms of education, in terms of housing. Mind you, we left everything in Ethiopia. We didn't sell our farm or nothing. And the state of Israel helped us a lot with housing, with the schooling, you know, giving us tuition and everything that we need. There are some challenges, you know, that's the reality of life. But if you look at it in overall, it helped. The state of Israel helped a lot, yeah.
Thank you, Casa. Wow. There are tears in my eyes right now, too, just listening to you. Casa, why did the Israeli government decide to bring the Ethiopian Jews back to Israel? What was the reason?
Well, first of all, we made the connection. And mind you, the connection between the Jews in the diaspora and the Jews in Ethiopia, it was more than 100 years ago. We started with the anthropological researcher who decided to research the lost tribes. And they arrived to Ethiopia. And the Ethiopian Jews, they thought that they are European missionaries, and they fought them. We couldn't believe there are white Jews, right? White people of Israel, that are white. It's unheard of. It's unheard of. So it took a while to build the relationship and the trust that the people, the white people, are claiming, you know, that they are part of people of Israel. They are part of people of Israel. And that started with Ethiopia, with the Jews from Europe. I'll just give you a small example. When I was in New Zealand, when I arrived, I decided to do meetings among the Jewish community. And one of the person told me, okay, you have to meet this girl. Her name is Zahai. She's from the Jewish community. Her name is Zahai. And I was sure that she's Ethiopian, because Zahai, it's a very Ethiopian name. Zahai means a son, the son, in Amharic.
Okay.
And I said, okay, that would be great to meet another Ethiopian Jew. And I meet her, and she's totally not Ethiopian. She's a nice, blonde woman. And I was curious to know, where did she get her Amharic name from? Apparently, her mother, she's a New Zealander. She went to London to do her PhD about anthropology about the lost tribes, and she decided to do her field work on the lost tribe in India. And her professor told her, listen, India is taken, go to Ethiopia. And she couldn't believe there are lost tribe in Ethiopia. And a young blonde woman going by herself to Ethiopia, to villages, no one really believed her that she's part of people of Israel. When she met our community in Ethiopia, we didn't believe her. I mean, that's what the story, what she told me. They couldn't believe her. She had to go through some tests to answer some questions in the Torah, you know, the traditions, the Jewish tradition, just, you know, so we can believe that she's part of people of Israel. To make a long story short, that was in the time of the Caesar Haile Selassie, before the communist regime. And she met the Caesar in Ethiopia, and the princess Zahai, and she says the princess, the Ethiopian princess, she was so beautiful, and she said that when she will have a daughter, she will call her Zahai.
Wow.
And she went back to New Zealand. She had a daughter. She called her Zahai. Many years later, an Ethiopian Jew diplomat of State of Israel coming to New Zealand and meeting that Zahai.
Wow.
Isn't it amazing?
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Goodness gracious. And
it just, God works in a very mysterious ways.
Absolutely.
Without many connection, well, of course, that woman, she wasn't the first one. But that connection led, you know, led my community to realize there is a way to go back to Jerusalem. And once we found a way, that's it. And the state of Israel, you know, mind you, also the community, the Jewish community in America also, they advocate for us in, you know, so the United States can help bring us to Israel.
Right.
And we, you know, pushed, and the Jewish community around the world pushed, and the state of Israel as well, and to help us, you know, the existence of the state of Israel, the existence of Israel is to be a safe home for every Jew that that's willing to come to Israel, okay, that wants to come to Israel. There is a home. It doesn't matter where you are, you have a home, you have another home, okay? So for us to go back home was very natural, to move back to Israel, okay? Right. Because that was the dream, regardless what happens in Ethiopia. Regardless what's happening in Ethiopia, there were, you know, some safe time, good times, and also there were like some bad times, like, you know, for every citizen in Ethiopia. Obviously, the communist regime in Ethiopia was one of the push, but we never stopped seeking to seek a way to come to Israel. Okay, and the state of Israel, once it was created, this opened the doors. That's the meaning of the Zionism. This is what Zionism is. Zion is Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem. And Zionism is just a political movement of the Jewish people to go back to Israel, to rebuild our house. We cannot build our temple, but to rebuild our house and to make it a safe, a successful, a thriving place, and that contributing to the world as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Zionism is just going home.
Yeah, Zionism. Yes, that's definitely. Mm.
And Casa, so I want to zoom out for a second, and because you mentioned how you got to Israel, how your family came to Israel, and I'm guessing that was Operation Moses. You said, because it was in the 80s. Is that correct?
Moses was in the 80s.
Okay.
And then Solomon. It was in the 90s, May 1991.
91, yes,
in ma'am. In between the operations, there were small group of families that went to Israel in many ways.
Right.
My particular family, my uncles, my aunts, and my extended family went through Sudan. My particular family, like my parents and my grandparents from my mother's side, we decided to go through Addis Ababa, through the capital. And it's funny, but my grandfather was against going to Israel because he said it's very dangerous and we shouldn't do it. But when everyone left the village and they said, well, we can't stay alone, it's not quite safe. Yeah,
right.
We went through Addis Ababa, the capital.
Okay.
And from there, the state of Israel helped us, to travel from Addis Ababa to Europe, from Europe to Israel. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
That was the path. And then the big operation, the second big operation, happened in May 1991. I came to Israel in January 1991, toward the end of the Gulf War. And when we arrived to Israel, it was like, welcome to Israel, here's your gas mask.
Oh, wow.
It was like, where is the it was Jerusalem, where is the Jerusalem, go the temple, this right. one now. That was amusing.
Wow. And so with those operations, and then you even mentioned too, just recently, I mean, Ethiopians, more Ethiopian Jews were brought into Israel just as recent as last week. What do you believe this does for Ethiopia's relationship with Israel, and also for the broader relationship between Israel and Africa? If you could talk on that.
In general, with the recreation of the state of Israel, one of the statements of Israel was to help communities wherever they are, to help with our knowledge, with our experience. And with Africa, Israel was the first thing that Israel did with Africa is to help the communities, the villages, in terms of agricultural technologies. Mm. For example, the usage of water smartly in agriculture. Mm. So we have a program, Israel Foreign Aid, it's called Mashav. And our Mashav work first was in Africa. And Golda Meir, our first female prime minister, before she became prime minister, as a foreign minister, she went to Africa to help women, to empower women, to give them the skills how to work in how to be more productive in agricultural field.
Wow.
Okay. So that's, in addition, when we came to, you know, to Israel, when the Ethiopian Jews moved to Israel, we're just helping to strengthen the relationship between Ethiopia and Israel. And there are a lot of young Ethiopians, Israelis, that go to Ethiopia, they volunteer, or business people, and strengthening the businesses. Mind you, Ethiopia, you know, we have the special grain called teff. That's how we make our injera from. And Ethiopia export the teff only to Israel. Okay, and we're doing a lot of projects also in Ethiopia and helping Ethiopia build in terms of agriculture, technologies, and other things. So the relationship with Africa, it started in the 50s, in early 50s, and it's still going on and expanding. And I think it's great that Israel bringing the knowledge, the know-how, bringing to the countries in Africa and helping them in many ways. And we have a lot of trainees that are coming to Israel for a training in many ways, in agriculture, in education, and many others, in many other way. So it's just so the relationship between Israel and Africa was way back in the early 50s, and with Ethiopia, once the communist regime fell, and Ethiopia was open again to the world, definitely Israel stepped in to help. To help rebuild Ethiopia.
Wow.
Yeah, and Israel was always there. I mean, the relationship between Ethiopia and Israel goes way back to the King of Solomon and
Absolutely.
King of Solomon and King Queen of Sheba. Mm. It never stopped. But, you know, mind you, the communist regime in Ethiopia it closed Ethiopia to anyone.
Right.
Once the Ethiopia reopened, we stepped in to help.
Absolutely.
And we have a lot of experts in many fields going to Ethiopia to help in education, in medical field. Not only that, you know, the best medical students in Israel medical school, they go and after they graduate, they go and they volunteer in Ethiopia.
Mm. Wow.
And a lot of professors in the hospitals or in science, they go to Ethiopia to teach and to share the knowledge.
Wow.
I know that because my friends in medical school, they went there, and the professors, they went there that I know, they went there to help, especially in tropical diseases and those kind of things. You know, it's the history of Israel in Ethiopia. It's connected way back, thousands of years. So if you learn the history of Ethiopia, you learn the history of Israel, the kingdom of Israel.
Mm.
You see, and if you learn the history of Israel and the kingdom of Israel, you learn about Ethiopia as well.
Mm.
It's even the language, Amharic, it's a Semitic language.
Right.
There are
right.
three Semitic languages, Arabic, Hebrew, and Amharic.
Mm.
And if you learn Amharic and Hebrew, you know Arabic. If you know Arabic and Hebrew, you know Amharic.
Wow. You know? Wow.
It's very well connected. It's amazing the story. People who knows understand the Amharic and the words, some of them are Hebrew words.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like the word tesva, hope,
yeah,
tikva in Hebrew.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, and I wanted to say, too, because you mentioned the Queen of Sheba, and we always say this, too, to our students, is that the very first diplomatic exploit, if you will, that was made to Israel was from Africa, from Ethiopia. The first diplomatic relations that was really made to the Kingdom of Israel in history, in Israel's history, was Ethiopia.
Right.
And yeah. You're right. You cannot learn about one without learning about the other. It's impossible.
Exactly. Yeah. And the more you know about Ethiopia, the more you know about Israel. Mm. And you know, when we talk about, you know, for example, anti-Zionist people, what does that mean to be anti-Zionist? Like, are you becoming anti-Ethiopian too, anti-history of the world? Like, I mean, like,
that's good.
Where do you stop? Where do you stop?
Yeah.
So,
wow. It's,
like, if you dismiss the connection between Jews and Israel, are you dismissing the connection between Ethiopians and Ethiopia? I mean, that's just a small example.
Right. No, that's good. No, anti-history of the world. I mean, really, that's, you're absolutely right. When we just said earlier, yeah, Zionism is going, it's going home. It's really the Jewish people going back home. Yeah. So mm-hmm. how can you be anti-Zionist unless you're just anti everything that has to do with history and the Jews, you know? No, absolutely, Casa. And I want to, you know, you've been so gracious and I thank you for sharing these things with us. I want to ask you another question for our audience. If you could sum up the Ethiopian Jewish story in one word, what word would you choose and tell us why you would choose that word?
That would be Zionism. Hmm.
That's a good word.
Just pure Zionism. Mm. The Ethiopian Jewish history that we were exiled of Israel years, many years ago. Mm. Okay, thousands of years ago. And our story of going back to Jerusalem, mind you, Zion is Jerusalem, it's Jerusalem, okay? Mm. To return home is just Zionism.
Hmm.
That's the in one word to define my story, my community story.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, Casa.
Yeah, that's and a... when we the indigenous people, we kept our history, our faith. We prayed every morning, every night to go back home to Jerusalem, and that was the dream, and that was like every Jew person dream in every corner of the world.
Hmm. Let me ask you another follow-up question to that. You said that was the dream. So then, if I can ask this, what is the dream now for the Ethiopian Jewish community? For you, even.
For me, that our children and young generation will be successful and will be leaders and continue building Israel. Part of just natural part of Israel, they are part of Israel. Mm. But to be successful and to be in a decision-making stable and to lead, to be part of the leadership of Israel and just to be a fine citizen that contribute to the country. That's the dream. And you know what? The dream is coming true. Mm. There are young, amazing, successful, brilliant people among my community that are, you know, I'm so optimistic about the future, so optimistic. Mm. It's going to be amazing. A great leadership we have.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Casa, thank you so much. That's a beautiful note to end on. I really appreciate you for being here and sharing with our listeners today. Y'all, this is Casa Harbor. And Casa, is there any parting thought that you want to leave with us before you say goodbye?
I would just say, wherever you think about Israel, think positive and spread the word.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Casa. Thank you so much. And thank you all for tuning in. Again, this is the JW Show. I'm Joshua Washington, Director of the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel, and I'm signing off.